we do what's right for kids. Ultimately, that's what it comes down to. You know, it doesn't matter what bill passes. It doesn't matter who's in office. It doesn't matter what party is in charge. All of those things. We do what's right for kids, and we find a way to do it. And we also find a way to do it in alignment to, in my world, IDEA, right?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
EL 94142, IDEA, or in Michigan, it's MARS, right? The Michigan Administrator Rules for Special Education. We want to make sure we align with those things because people have put in so much time to make sure it's done equitably. And we want to make sure it's done with empathy, but also done in a way that is sustainable and really leads to lifelong success, and recognizing that success is defined differently by the person.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brighter Together podcast. My name is Janet Courtney, and my special guest today is Anthony Barnes. Anthony is the Secondary Special Education Coordinator at Kalamazoo Public School District, and that's in Kalamazoo, Michigan. Anthony, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So, Anthony, tell us a little bit about you and your role at Kalamazoo.
Sure. So like you said, my name's Anthony. I am the secondary special ed coordinator. So what that means is I help run and coordinate the special ed program for our secondary students. So that's in Michigan, in Kalamazoo at least, that's sixth grade through 12th grade with our transition services program, which are students who are 18 or have completed 4 years of high school, but they're still continuing to get resources and services. I've been in this role. I'm going into my third year. In this role.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, I taught middle school special education for about a decade here in Kalamazoo. So I taught in Kalamazoo. I'm now an administrator in Kalamazoo. I graduated from Western Michigan University, which is here in Kalamazoo.
Kalamazoo.
So, yeah, this is really my home and my community. Even so much so that my wife is a third grade teacher here in Kalamazoo.
Nice.
So we have really integrated ourselves within the community. And it's a beautiful thing because really when I was in school, I had an IEP as well, actually for speech and language and for dyslexia, ADHD, and a couple other things. So it's really exciting to be able to be on the other end of that table, right? To help students and families. So that's a little bit about me.
Position or, you know, for empathy and understanding that you have perspective. That's the word I was trying to get to, the word perspective. What a unique perspective you have because you've been there, you've done that. And obviously you are amazing. You're doing amazing things and that's fantastic. So,
That's one of the reasons why I decided to leave the classroom and go into administration is because I recognize that I have a different perspective than most people in education, especially in administration. And also it's kind of, you know, that saying of you want to be in the room where it happens, where the decisions are made. And when given that opportunity, how can you turn down the opportunity to be at the table where decisions are made, and especially representing a group that is overrepresented within special education? And by that, I mean, Black males, right?
Okay.
So
right.
There's a lot of, Black males that are overly represented and identified in special education. So how can I not be a part of helping the next generation, you know, come up and also allow them to see someone who they may identify with a little bit more.
Yeah. Right? And successfully yes. completed. Yeah, absolutely. So I want to touch on that just a little bit, if you don't mind. It's important that people understand, and if there's somebody listening that isn't necessarily directly in education, why? Why are Black men, Black males, Black boys identified more than other genders or races? Why is that?
There's a number of reasons why it could be. I don't want to get into too much speculation.
Yeah, I'm asking for generalities, and I know IEPs 100%. Are not general, but yeah.
Right, and some of the generalities is, when we're looking at development, right? Men and women, just starting there, XXXY, develop differently.
Right.
Right. You
and
know,
boys
we
tend to be slower,
that.
Right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Men develop slower. And my wife would 100% agree with that. Right. And I just turned 34 last week, and I think I'm finally developed, I think. We'll see.
Yeah.
But it's biologically, it's been shown through science that men just develop a little bit slower. You know, the XY chromosomes develop a little bit slower. And then you factor in on top of that, just, you know, there are some cultural differences mm-hmm. that some of our tests don't really account for, you know, and when I mean cultural differences, it's the behavior, right? So mm-hmm. growing up for me, if I knew the answer in a situation, I would shout out the answer. If for example, if I was at church, right? If I knew if the preacher said, you know, who knows the answer to this? I raise my hand, I'm excited, and I shout out the answer. Now, if you do that in a classroom, right? That might be disruptive. That might be, you know, disrespectful, depending on how you define respect.
Right.
So a mm-hmm. lot of these assessments that have been, and they're getting better over time, but some of these assessments aren't necessarily most culturally sensitive, right? Or open.
Right.
And so that leads to over-identification of certain mm-hmm. groups. On top of that, just, you know, pushing students to, in a positive way, pushing students, you know, academically when they may not be cognitively ready for that, identifies right. a different group of students. And I can go on and on and on. But
yeah.
what I have found in my experience is people like me, like I said, I speech and language impairment when I was young, ADHD, dyslexia, I just learned differently. Right. So
it's neural. I love the term neurodivergence really is about how our brains are wired. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. And there's nothing wrong with that. And we just mm-hmm. we as educators and professionals have to learn to flow and move with that. So a lot of people, a lot of Black males like myself get over-identified with in needing an IEP. And sometimes it's for the social emotional part. Right. Needing help mm-hmm. regulating their emotions, depending on how people are raised and how they're grown up and the different coping skills they've learned, right?
Right.
So being, you know, there's just a lot of factors leading to right. why some groups are over-identified. And it's we really need to make sure we know the difference between a disability and just a difference.
Right.
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 I learn
right.
and function differently. That doesn't necessarily mean I need an IEP eligibility area. Right. But sometimes you do, and there's nothing wrong right. with that. But also, you know, now in the state of Michigan, we're doing a lot of talk around dyslexia and, you know, people can have dyslexia and learn it to read differently, which learning to read the way humans read is not a natural state in my opinion. I've done some research around that. But the state of Michigan is recognizing that dyslexia is something that we need to address, and it's not necessarily through special education.
Right. You know? Yeah. Yeah. That's good. That's really, really good. It's funny. I want to step back a little bit. You talked about being 34. We used to joke, my husband, I'm 57. My husband, they love to call me a cougar. He's 15 months younger than I am. Right. I'm not a cougar, but there you go. My kids love to tease me about that. But we used to tease him and say, yeah, men are like trees. They don't mature until they're 50. So I'm not trying to be, it's just a joke, but you know what I mean? It's just one of those funny things.
I'm
men
finding
definitely.
It to be true.
Yeah, and you process information so much differently. And I wonder too, and this is just me speculating, we're a female dominated industry.
Oh, 100%.
And you know, so we don't even think the way, and that's not that we don't think about men and boys and whatever, but I think that's a piece of it that I hadn't even really ever clued into as well.
That's absolutely true. When I graduated from Western Michigan University, I went there twice for my bachelor's and for my master's. When mm-hmm. I graduated with my bachelor's degree, we had a cohort model. So we all got into the special ed program at the same time. We traveled through together.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. And so there were about 52 of us in our cohort at the time. Three of us were men.
Were men. Yeah.
Three of us were men. And to my knowledge, I believe I'm the only one still in the field of education.
Wow. Wow.
Right. So there are very few men in the world of special education. And in my department now, I have a director who is my direct supervisor and two other coordinators within the special education department. And they are all women. They're all amazing women. Don't get me wrong. They're all very brilliant women. But I'm the only man. Right. In our department. And a lot of what we call a unicorn. Exactly. And so a lot of our students that we serve with IEPs are men or boys.
Yeah.
Right.
Or boys.
So, it's once you get to a certain level, there's definitely men are as represented in the field of education. It's kind of, in my opinion, kind of a flip of a lot of other industries. Right.
Right. Right. Yeah. And then, and I've talked to women, superintendents that are women, it flips as you get it higher yes. up too, which is really interesting too, our dynamics of yes, there are lots of women very capable, but there aren't as many women superintendents in a female dominated. It's just like me being an entrepreneur. I never considered myself an entrepreneur, but apparently I am. And CEO and business owner and all of those labels, you know, lots of labels, pick a label, right?
Right.
But because I'm a female, you know, I'm in a minority group and it's like, I don't feel like a minority. I've never in my life felt like a minority. So, you know, I'm too strong for that. And I think that that's true. You know, anybody that's in a position of leadership, you know, you lead with empathy, obviously, which it's very clear that you do. And that's exciting. But also, you know, don't carry a chip on your shoulder, right? It's like, let's get you what you need. Let's get you, but also strive to be the person that, and here we go with my faith. God wants you to be. That's my faith. I don't, you know, I'm like, I hide it.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah. When I think about it, you know, I strive to be the person I needed when I was a kid.
Right. Oh, beautiful. Right? That's a beautiful thing. Yeah.
Who do I wish? And I had some amazing teachers growing up, which is one of the reasons why I wanted to be a teacher. My best friend's mom was a special ed director when I was in school. And you know, of course, my mom is a wonderful person. But I think about who do I wish was around when I was growing up and wondering why I was in a special reading group and wondering why I struggled with the academics, but I did really well with music or athletics or, you know, other things.
Right.
So I try to think about you know, if I could go back in time and talk to my younger self, what would have been helpful, you know, and that's what I try to think about when working with these kids. Now, obviously there's a learning curve to everything, right? You know, no one is fully formed. No one is perfect.
Right.
And striving for perfection is dangerous, right? Mm-hmm. And I try to express that to students too. But at the end of the day, what can we do to support the youth and the next generation and their families, right? Because I have to remember that I have the privilege of one, being an adult. You know, I've made it to adulthood. That's a privilege. I have to recognize that it is a privilege to be a man generally in society. Mm-hmm. That is a privilege. And then I also have the privilege of being educated.
Right.
Right.
I have a master's degree.
I have a master's degree. Yeah. That's a huge privilege. So how can I use the privileges that I have to help level the playing field for other people and the people that I've chosen to use my gifts to help the most are those people who have cognitive impairments, have learning difficulties, are on the autism spectrum. I could go on and on and on.
Right. And
their families.
Right. And their families. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, I love that. I love that. You don't, you know, it's easy to forget their families and get caught up in the process and
absolutely.
Not remember, but that's fantastic. That just, again, that tells me how incredibly I'm so impressed with you, Anthony. I really am. It's a pleasure to, you know, just talk to you and see what you're doing and your passion. And, you know, it's one of those things, I don't remember who said it, but if you do what you love, you'll never work a day in your life, you know, another day in your life. Maybe it was Carnegie. I don't know. Who knows, but I'm not going to stress about that, but it's true. Like if you're doing what you love and you're good at and, you know, it's like that's, and giving back. And that's what the Brighter Together podcast is all about, is giving back, giving you guys a platform. Lighthouse is blessed beyond measure. I am blessed beyond measure. So let's turn around and give that peace and give you a platform where you can talk about the things that matter to you and the things that are important. So, and the good things that are happening in education. So, let's flip a little bit and let's talk about what are some of your biggest wins, would you say?
So there are so many wins, right? I am very fortunate to have grown in education under some amazing leaders. You know, when I was a teacher, I had an amazing principal who really helped me grow. Right now I work under an amazing assistant superintendent and I have an amazing team that helps me grow. And so some of the amazing wins right now, well, in Kalamazoo, Michigan, right? We have the Kalamazoo Promise, right? Which means that every student who graduates from KPS has college paid for, right?
Okay, moving to Kalamazoo.
Yes, I'm to Kalamazoo. And of course, there are more details and things like that, right?
Yeah,
but all of our students go to school, you know, have the option to go to post-secondary education for free. So that's a huge win.
That's a huge win.
I had nothing to do with that. I that was here when I got here, but that's, I have to call that out. That's huge,
Yeah, it is.
Some of the big wins right now within my department, right? We're building systems to really guarantee that students are within the least restrictive environment, mm-hmm. right? Within mm-hmm. education and least restrictive environment for some of you who may not be in the special education world, least restrictive environment means they're in school in the most appropriate setting for them and getting the education that's the most appropriate for them, right? So some students are in all general education classes working towards a diploma. Some are in advanced courses working towards, you know, that. And then some students are in more vocational education courses or in the more hands-on courses. So I've been working with an amazing team to really build out what that continuum looks like for our students, mm-hmm. making sure that everyone gets an education, the free appropriate public education, FAPE, that they deserve, right? And mm-hmm. making sure that students really know their options and what's out there. I don't know about you, but for me, when I was in school, we pushed college. You have to go to college. And I'm very grateful I went to college. It was mm-hmm. a grind, but I'm very grateful I went to college. But it's also, you know, it's a win that the tide is shifting a bit and recognizing that college isn't for everyone.
Everybody, right? Yeah.
And that is okay. Yeah. Vocational schools, getting a certificates, going to mm-hmm. trade schools is an amazing thing. We here mm-hmm. in Kalamazoo, we are opening a Career Technical Center. Actually, it opens up here in the fall, where we have culinary programs and healthcare programs and auto body programs and construction. And that's free to anyone who applies, any student in the county who applies, you know. And we, in our district, I don't want to give an exact number, but I think we doubled the number of students with IEPs who are enrolling in those programs.
Oh,
as a direct
nice.
Result of yeah. the work our team is doing, so that our students mm-hmm. know that they have more options.
Right.
If school isn't their thing, right? Maybe they mm-hmm. need a more hands-on approach to learning and doing. You know, they want to be a mechanic. They want to be a barber, an esthetician, a contractor, an electrician, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And it's a win helping students to recognize that there are so many ways to be successful contributing members of society. And
right.
that doesn't mean you have to go to college. Now, if you want to go to college, that is amazing. That's mm-hmm. the route I took, obviously.
Right.
Right. But I have a younger brother, his name is Christopher. He chose not to finish college and he is thriving in the auto industry.
Right.
Right. And I have mm-hmm. my youngest brother is a chef. He chose to go to college and become a chef. And he's still grinding and working in a kitchen and building up that way. So there's so many ways to go through and be successful and just to find your own path. Right. And a personal win for me, like I said, before I was an administrator, I was a teacher for about a decade. And my very first student as a teacher in Kalamazoo Public Schools, I'm not going to share her name, obviously.
Well,
but
yeah.
My very first student, I had lunch with her about a month ago, and she's 19 or 20 now. And mm-hmm. so we get together every once in a while and check in with each other. And after we had lunch, she sent me a message and she said, you know, I've decided I'm going to go back to school and I'm living on my own and I couldn't have done this without you. And
nice.
You know, so that's a personal win for me of, mm-hmm. you know, being in education, there's a lot of delayed gratification, right? You don't necessarily
yes.
see the
yes.
wins right away, but
yeah,
just
so
knowing
true.
That I've impacted a young person, at least a couple of them. Mm-hmm. It is a win, and it drives me to keep wanting to do this work that I've been called to do.
Yeah, and that's a topic that's come up a lot on our show is that, you know, those we don't know the impact, the complete impact that we're having on these students' lives. And, you know, I was just in Michigan. Lighthouse was founded in Michigan, so we were there for 10 days, and we're seven. We had our seventh anniversary on July 10th, which I'm super proud to say. Yeah, thank you. But it's that same, I mean, and we had moved away 3.5 years ago to move to South Texas because I don't like the cold in Michigan anymore. I moved down here to get away from the cold. But it was so good to see people and the impact that you have on your friends and the people that you just interact with every single day. You don't even realize that level, yes. Let alone being somebody that's their mentor and their, you know, somebody that has the empathy that you have and just the, all of those things. It's just like we used to talk about, you know, each student is like a drop of water. And every time you touch their lives, you know, that ripple that goes out. Well, when you have hundreds of kids that you've served, that's not just a ripple anymore. It's a big old wave, right? Absolutely. And I've said that on a video before, but that's exactly what you're doing is you are impacting lives for the future. And that's the thing that educators, we don't get a, we, this platform exists and we're here because the amazing things that are happening. And I'm tired of people getting beat up in education because of political stuff, you know? So yes. Kudos to you for what you're doing. And, you know, I love the fact that you're, that you've made this impact so fantastic.
And, yeah. And you're right. There's so much political stuff happening right now in the world. But and my boss reminds me of this all the time, and my team and anyone in education, it comes up all the time. We do what's right for kids.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Ultimately, that's what it comes down to. You know, there, it doesn't matter what bill passes. It doesn't matter who's in office. It doesn't matter what party is in charge. All of those things. We do what's right for kids and we find a way to do it. And we also find a way to do it in alignment to, you know, in my world, IDEA, right?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
IL 94142, IDEA, or in Michigan, it's MARS, right? The Michigan Administrator Rules for Special Education. We want to make sure we align with those things because people have put in so much time to make sure it's done equitably, right?
Right.
We want to make sure it's done with empathy, but also done in a way that is sustainable and really leads to lifelong success, and recognizing that success is defined differently by the person.
Right. Yeah.
IEP means individualized education plan. Right.
Yes.
And so it's individualized. So what's right for me may be very different, and it probably is what's right for you, and then what's right for my wife, and what's right for the kids coming up right now. And just recognizing the fact that right now that where I'm speaking for myself, I'm in a generation right now that has lived through the invention of the internet, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was there and smartphones and all of these different things, but how do we utilize these tools for the advancement of the youth, right? But also not being afraid of what's coming next. You know, not being afraid of AI in the ChatGPT.
And it's coming. It's coming.
How do we use those things to our advantage to help the next generation of students? And it's truly a beautiful thing. So just remembering what we do is for the students, you know. And I love being able to do, you know, take part of things like this because it really does give us a voice and a platform. So I'm very grateful for that because education in general is a very thankless job.
Yeah.
And that's okay, because that's not why we do it.
That's not why we do it. Yeah.
That's not why we do it. But at the end of the day, we need people, you know, policymakers, the auto shop mechanics, the restaurant owners, the people who don't work in education to understand what it is we're here to do and the impact we're attempting to make for the future, right? And every job is important, every field is important, but only education impacts everything.
Yeah. And right? We are educating the next generation earlier. For sure. Yeah.
I kind of mentioned earlier, but the human brain isn't wired to read, right? We're not born knowing how to read. We're born knowing how to communicate, and that the way we communicate morphs over time. Right. First, it's crying and cooing, and then eventually it's talking, and then all of these different things. Well, we're not necessarily wired to read, but in order to be successful in today's society, we have to be able to read at a certain level.
Yeah.
Right.
For sure.
And in order to do that, you have to experience some level of success within the educational system. And how do we guarantee that? And then how do we bring in people, you know, families and parents who may not have had a super positive experience in the educational system and still get them to buy in enough to help them be more successful and their children and families to be more successful.
Yeah.
That's what drives us every day.
Yeah. And that's exactly it. You know, our mission at Lighthouse is is to be a therapy company run by therapists for therapists. But at the end of it is for the betterment of students. Always. We always, just like you guys, put the kids before anything else. Make sure that the students are getting the services that they need. And partnering with the schools to do that is what we do. You know, that's what why Lighthouse exists. It's funny, you were on an IEP. I guess you would consider an IEP. I had speech therapy as a child as well. I couldn't say my S's. I didn't have these two front teeth for 2 years. Sure. And gosh, it affected my articulation. Imagine that. There's so many things that we know now that we didn't know back then. And they didn't even teach speech therapists when I was in college about dyslexia. You know, so there are therapists my age that are having to catch up. We're having to do a lot of continuing ed to make sure that we can help, because we should be helping.
Absolutely.
You know, it's one of those things where it's like it was kind of carved out, and just the way we think about things and the way that things are moving and where we're going is really all positives. I think there's so many. We just have to make sure that we're ready and that we continue to do what's best for the kids, right?
Absolutely.
So
continue to do what's best for the kids, and encouraging the current students and other people to join us in education, right?
Yeah.
There's such a teacher shortage right now, but there are mm-hmm. so many people that I've met in my lifetime that have the heart and the passion to teach, right?
Mm-hmm.
When I was in college, it was a very competitive to get into the special education program, right? You had to apply, you had to interview, and then eventually you got in. But now the numbers in education are so low and teacher prep programs are so low that, you know, I have a hard time finding quality, qualified teachers that want to teach our children. And it's not because, I don't think it's because people stopped caring. I don't think it's because, no one wants to teach. I think it's because we're losing sight of how beautiful it is to be a teacher. And when mm-hmm. oftentimes when you hear about teaching in the media, it's, this is what negative thing that happened in a school, or this.
Yeah,
is
you only hear about the bad
salary,
stuff, sure.
Or
yeah.
this is yeah, the this exactly. or that. You know, which all of those things need to be addressed. Don't get me wrong.
Right. No, right? I agree with you 1,000%. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But I want to hear more about those light bulb moments. I want to hear mm-hmm. more about that, the collaboration between the teachers, the principal, the central office staff, the parents. You know, all mm-hmm. those stakeholders, and what are we doing to teach the whole child? You know, uh-huh. the social emotional needs, the academic needs, but also how are we teaching what I would consider the hidden curriculum, right? How to be a good person, how to have empathy for each other, how to, mm-hmm. you know, be polite, and what that means. Because polite for me may be very different than polite for you, but we can all coexist.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know? Right. Yeah. I recently did, because you have to do continuing ed. You know, I'm still an SLP, even though I'm not directly, seeing students sure. anymore, but you know, it's like, it's something I've had for 30 years. I'm not anytime going to give it up.
Absolutely.
And one of them was on implicit bias and, you know, how all of us come at it from our world, and understanding that there are different views. That's that empathy piece. If you can, you know, and teachers are really good at that. Teachers, you know, good teachers, there's good teachers and bad teachers. We all know that, but there's way more good teachers than education is giving or the media or whatever is getting credit for.
Absolutely.
But yeah, that piece of it is just, you know, I'm not a big fan of continuing ed, and I'm not someone that loves doing them, but boy, that was the one that really made me step back and look at myself and go, okay, well, I'm a 57-year-old successful white woman who mm-hmm. has a master's degree in speech pathology. It changes your world. It changes who you are, and you try really hard. And a Christian. I mean, I put myself a Christian before anything else. So, you know, it's one of those things where you go, okay, how am I being biased by the things that are just things that come naturally to me? So it just makes you think about what's important, and you know, that's why it's really so important that we put those kids before anything else, because it doesn't matter what I want. It doesn't matter what's best for me. It's like, what are we doing? And from my perspective with our company, what are we doing that's putting Lighthouse in a way that serves those kids? You know,
absolutely.
It's like sometimes we make money and sometimes we don't, and people
sure.
don't understand that I'm willing to do that. And it's like, why would you do that? Because it's not about the finances, it's about the kids. You know, it just
right.
makes us a little bit different, and why we don't take investors. And But it's the same line. I mean, you and I are like on the same wavelength for sure when it comes to all of that. So, and I love that. Go ahead. No, go right ahead. I'm talking.
I bring up that implicit bias, right? Because that it is very hard to be self-reflective about your own biases.
Yeah. Because we're always right, aren't we? We're always right. Yeah.
And the first step is recognizing that everyone has a bias and it's okay. Yeah. It's just what you do with that, right?
Mm-hmm. And, exactly.
And not assuming what other people's biases are and being self-reflective of like, for example, as a teacher, I recognized that I was a lot more strict and tougher on my Black male students with IEPs. And it's not because I didn't love them. It's not because I thought of them less. It's because I thought of them more.
Right.
You know, I saw myself in each and every one of them. Yeah. And so I was harder on them saying, well, if I could do it, then you could do it. And this is, you know, and it's recognizing that that is a form of implicit bias and recognizing that I needed to step back and say, well, not all these students are me.
Right.
I have some struggles and they have some struggles, but they may not be the same struggles.
Right.
And then, like I said, checking your privilege and recognizing the bias that you may have in that and like, well, you know, especially being in education, we work with a lot of parents and a lot of us often forget to stop using the jargon, stop using the acronyms and assuming that everyone knows what FAPE is and what LRE is and that we're talking about the first percentile of the NWA assessment, right?
Yeah. Our alphabet soup, we like it. Every industry has it and we have a lot. Yeah.
Crazy, absolutely. And being able to slow down and help everyone understand what this is in a way that's not condescending to them, but also, you know, but meets them at their level. And a lot of teachers and educators recognize, oh, we have to meet the students at the level they're at. That's wonderful. But we also have to meet the parents and families and each other where we are, right?
Yeah,
you know, the number of times that I've explained to people what a percentile means and like, okay, well, you have 100 people lined up and your son is at the 14th percentile. So that means they're number 14 in line, you know, and that's okay. And that you have to do that because not everyone has the education I have. Don't ask me to pop my hood and tell you what's under there.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Yeah. And I try to remember and reflect that it's the same idea. Right. My little brother would laugh at me if I opened the hood, he could tell me exactly what every part was. But don't ask him to dissect an IEP.
Right. Exactly.
Right? And so
because
we have to remember
that's where our knowledge base is for sure. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And then circling back to the students, you know, explaining that to them that you may not understand it now, but our aim is for you to understand it in the future.
Yeah.
Right. And but also let's lean into your passions and what you may be naturally drawn to and naturally good at and do that. Because like you said, if you love what you do, you're not working a day in your life. So if it's torture for you to read a book and read an article and annotate, yeah, you may have to learn how to do that because there are some useful skills in there. But also maybe you really love gardening and getting your hands dirty. And that's OK, too, because we need people who have all of these skills.
Yeah. And then if you're going to read something, let's read something about books about gardening and how you can do your gardening better. Right.
Exactly.
That was one of my things as a speech therapist that I always did was what is the hook that I always talk about the hook? What is the hook for that child that is going to get them excited about coming to speech? You know, I had one little girl, you're talking about middle schoolers and we are long. So I apologize for those of you that are listening. This is long, but it's been really great. It's been a really great conversation. She would come to my room. She did not want to be there. And it was like, she would come and she'd have this hood on with the big fur around it. And she would cover up 90% of her face because she didn't want to be there. And I was like, how do I get this girl to just even pop out of her shell a little bit? So half the time in our sessions for the first 5 or 6 sessions, I was the one that was just talking. I was glad that she was there. She was sitting there and I'm like, I'm going to tell you everything I can about me. You can work on listening skills, whatever it is. And I started talking about a book that we were reading because I did lots of read alouds with my kids. And that was something even into high school. I mean, it was just a fun thing that we did as a family. It's great. You know, reading Tolkien. It was so cool to be able to, I mean, you don't read those to a 2-year-old, right? But and all of a sudden I said, oh yeah, and we're reading this book and you know, it's a book. And all of a sudden she like perked up because she was reading that book. And I was that thing. I found that thing for her, the thing that meant, and that's such a huge win. And those are the things that we celebrate and that make a difference in a child's life. And,
absolutely.
You know, and I couldn't, you know, and I was like, I was just flying high that day because I was like, yes, I finally found the thing. And then the next time she came, the hood was down. And then the next time the coat was unzipped. And the next time the coat was completely gone from the room. And it was such a huge win. So
absolutely.
Anyway,
you know, just finding those ways to connect with students.
Yeah.
To get them where that we see the potential in them and get them going that direction. It's whatever it takes. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Anthony, gosh, what a great conversation we've had. I really enjoyed speaking with you. Where can people go if they want to learn a little bit more about Anthony Barnes or what's happening at Kalamazoo Public Schools?
So KalamazooPublicSchools.org is our website. You can log on. You can see all the cool things that are happening here in Kalamazoo, Michigan. I'm on social media. Feel free to friend me or follow me. I'm on Facebook, Instagram. I have a LinkedIn. I need to update it, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I'm there. But feel free to follow me. I try to post some inspirational things and then just updates about my life. But if you really, Kalamazoo Public Schools, Kalamazoo, Michigan, the Kalamazoo awesome. Promise has their own website for you to explore. And then Kay Risa is who runs our career center. So check them out too. They're doing some really
what
great.
What is, when you say Kay Risa, spell that out for me. Just that's
oh,
the
yes,
only one
that's,
I don't.
So it's the Kalamazoo
Regional, is it R-E-S-A?
Yes. Regional
K-R-E-S.
Education. Oh, okay. Yep. It's our ISD. So
K-R-E-S-A is
yes.
K-R-E-S-A. And that
yes,
is
the alphabet soup.
And that is in Kalamazoo. And that's okay. And that's where the like your career center.
No, our career center. Yeah. So the nice thing about Kalamazoo is a city, and there's Kalamazoo is the county. So there's actually two. And so the career center is open to the students in the county, which is a beautiful thing.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. Well, Anthony, thanks again for being on the Brighter Together podcast, because, you know, we really are brighter together.
Yes, we are. Thank you for the invitation.